Hello, welcome to Actual Play, Court of Blades, episode 3, part 2. This is the Monster Hunt. Here we are, we're ready with our mercy, and we're about to dive in. The opening salvo, the opening scene, creates a little scene. Get some looky-loos, some folks wanted to see what's going on, and we get to see just how dangerous and scary rumor can be. We start with a controlled position, but it rapidly goes out of that as we start our hunt at the Hour of Trist. One of my favorite lines in this is, "Do you see these gorgeous but strong women who are very ready to hunt monsters?" Something to that effect. It's good. It's good stuff. Also, I liked, really enjoyed this time, the power of wigs. So many good wigs and so many good wig stories. Suffice to say, when I'm out monster hunting, I'm not wearing my show and tell wig. I'm wearing my monster hunting wig, and we'll see how that monster hunting goes right now. Hello, we are ready for some moonlit monster hunting, as chat has suggested. Let's do it.
So romantic.
Mm-hmm. And dangerous.
Better way to showcase the depth and beauty of a city of fantastic culture and politics than running down something horrifying in the Arbor District.
Yeah.
Excellent. Before we smash the action here, I need to know, Mercy Aveline told you to gather what you need. Is anybody going loaded, or are we all going discreet here? You're going loaded.
I was gonna go loaded. I was ready for a thrashing.
Okay.
True.
So we're dressed to the nines in our best monster hunting gear. Plenty of load to play with here. When we have to assemble our engagement roll, do we think that force or transport come into this?
I think force definitely does. I'm imagining that we are, and this is actually a question about like what resources we have that aren't on the character sheet. But you know, they said we sent a group of pike already, and they haven't been successful. Do we have access to those kind of resources where we could say, like, we want you to put soldiers here, here, and here so that we can corner it in and keep it contained? Like, we're not expecting them to do the fighting for it, but we're expecting them to be able to come to our aid if need be, or if, or sort of, you know, limit the scope.
So the prince was going to send a contingent of pike. The prince got argued down to sending you all. Because the pike were more useful closer to home. If you have a retinue of pike at your disposal, you could send them. You could bring your peacocks. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're probably going to have to do a deal, flashback to paying some favor to be like, we need a cordon. We need some people to hold the arbor so that this thing doesn't get away. Could do that. Or if it becomes necessary later, we can flashback to already having done that. But no, we don't necessarily have that.
But for the purposes of the engagement role, whether or not we have one of our house's strengths really applies to whether or not we have some favor in that regard. And
yeah. So if this is something that like the plan is to bring force of arms against something, then we can take that as a die on our engagement role. So you won't just be rolling a solitary dice, a die for the coterie being all in on this.
Right.
We could get another one. We've also got good information here. So I think that meeting with the Mercy, having some exceptional gather information roles, like we know where this thing is layering. We know that somebody in the city is controlling it. Are we going to this thing's lair and hunting it, or are we going to run down that whoever it is that's controlling it? Are we disrupting that? Like, what is the play here? What do we think the errand looks like?
Yeah, no, I assumed we were going to go hunt the monster, so that's an interesting question. What is everyone else doing?
Yeah, that was my thought as well. I thought we were going to find its lair before it mm-hmm. went out on the prowl and catch it before it went out.
Yeah, I think that's this group style too. I don't want to hunt for a knack. I want to go beat up the monster.
If it's a knack.
If it's a knack.
This could just be Arturo down in the twist at the orphanage.
Got a hold of a good knack.
Who might
good cage.
Just have let a nightmare out of his head. Anyway.
True.
Whatever the case may be, it sounds like an assault is our idea, and that mm-hmm. definitely means that force comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
We get a die for that. We get a die for being talented retainers, and then we get a die for our excellent gathering of information. I think we have our scene laid. I'm going to go ahead and ask somebody to go ahead and make a three dice fortune roll, and we'll see what position we start in here, because it could be real bad.
Who feels like?
I think you're the only one who hasn't rolled this morning, this evening.
Oh,
yet. Navi, so oh, I think
that's true. That's true. Good one, Sean. I'm so terrified of the engagement roll.
There's no bad engagement roll.
It's okay.
No,
it's true. Bad. It's true. Oh, yeah. It's true.
You guys have almost all the dice that you can roll here.
It's just the first time I ever played Blades in the Dark. The first four times for engagements, I always rolled ones for my group. So it stayed with me.
Nice.
See, perfect, right? As long as you roll sixes, I can't hurt you. So we're going to start in a controlled position. So I think the controlled position here is like nobody gives you any hassle as you come clanking into the arbor late at night, looking like you're about to go and do some violence. I think that the streets are fairly quiet. I think that the kind of broad avenues of the arbor, kind of these veins through this kind of rolling country in the middle of this beautiful walled city, with its fantastic terraced gardens and trellised vines and flowering trees, just putting on their very first spring growth. I think that it's, you know, a cool, gentle, delicate night. Your mercy, Aveline, is with you. You guys know where you're going as well, so I think you have no problem crossing the arbor down to the south side. And we said we knew where this thing's lair was, and I think, just to make it kind of nasty, is that it's an old abandoned well. I think that the well has been, you know, boarded over, like there's a cover on it, but there's no problem. It's not nailed down or anything like that. And there's even, you know, a working, you know, trestle over top with the bucket. You guys can head down there with no problems if you guys want to do that, or you can wait for it to come out. What are you guys doing?
As soon as Cora sees it, she's like, oh, great. More things underground. I'm sure this can't go anything but spectacularly. And the moonlight courses through her raven black hair with gold, with like little golden strands woven between it. And it's very clear that there's a mess of it, but it's all very well coiffed and flowing in the back. And it's very clear that like daggers or other small implements could be hidden within it.
It's a very dangerous coiffure there.
Yes. Well, it's her monster hunting wig, right? It's
fair. You never know when you're going to need like seven hair daggers.
Yeah. Or the garrote that golden strand actually is. You know?
Excellent. So the moonlight flowing through Kor's delicate murder wig is casting kind of terrifying shadows all around you as we are approaching the hour of whist. I think, or tryst rather, sorry, I'm going to get that right eventually. So the hour of tryst, traditionally a time of meeting of lovers, we are out to find something that may be a Jewel City's boogeyman or a Calrean vampire of some kind. The mercy is nonspecific, but she's looking at you. She's like, are we going to descend, or are we going to wait for it here? Are we going to lay an ambush?
I vote for not going down the creepy well.
Malika was about to say to go down the creepy well, but when rumor said that, so I think both of us look at each other like, I think Lenore, since you are the mercy here and Lady Aveline, we will, perhaps there's a way we could pursue the beast without endangering. And I'm like, and I say endangering, it's obvious that I'm talking about rumor.
Yes, I prefer not to be in danger.
Or looks notably crestfallen. She's like hands on the thing, ready to jump down. Like she said she didn't want to do it, but she totally wanted to do it. But now she's like, okay, no, that's smart. That's smart. That's smart.
The adventurous tech neatly behind myself as self-preservation. All right.
I think that at the point, rumor will try and like, you know, throw some logic on it. That's its home turf. It's going to have advantage there. Let's get it out and stop it from going back in.
Cora's nodding along, but she's also looking for evidence. Does it look clear that this is that it's passed through this area? Like you said, there's a lid to it. Has that come on and off recently? Is there fresh mud? Is there signs of passage as of yesterday?
Sure.
That came through.
Okay. I think that I could see a role here in a controlled position. We could totally maybe look at some of the evidence around, look for that fresh mud. It sounds like you're making maybe a survey here.
Yeah, it might actually be, honestly, what I really want to do is, you know, I'd like to push this a step further and perhaps look to you, Lenore, to lead this, maybe I can assist you. Maybe this is a hunt to set up an ambush, because I think it's more like, okay, cool. As long as we know that this is where it's coming through, let's see how and get ready to jump it.
Yeah, finding its favored ground and where you can be in such a place to ambush it is great, yeah.
I can do a hunt.
Are you up for that? I think
Core
will aid by sort of shining the lantern on the footprints and whatnot, and also like helping you, like, you know, if there's like you have to lift the lid off the well, that's a two-person job and things like that. So take an assist die from Core.
And controlled, you said, Drake?
Yeah, we're in a control position right now.
Okay. One bonus die, correct, for the assist.
For the assist, yes.
Yeah, I'll get there. I'll get these rules.
You're doing great.
You're doing great.
It's perfect because
it's much better than I did when I first started playing this. yeah, okay. So highest is a 5. So I think that as we're getting this shot of the two of you lifting the lid off this thing, there's a there's like the scent of kind of stale air, damp, moldy, with just like a tinge of something unplaceable. And then it kind of hits Lenore. It's that same scent that occasionally you feel rolling off of Core. The same scent that's in your little purple bottle. There's a tinge, just a vaguest little whiff of something that is not right, and you know that this is where it is. Mm-hmm. It's about that time that these two young lovers come drifting onto scene as these five dangerous individuals are opening up this well, and they stop, and like in the grand tradition of Ilrien, they're standing here like it's street theater, watching, waiting for you to do something interesting, and one of them is like, "What's up with the well, then? Is it off limits?"
At this point, I think Rumor just kind of, she doesn't wait for anyone else. She just walks over there and like, she's kind of got like, you know, her cigarillo kind of hanging out of her mouth, and she's just thinking, are you trying to get yourselves killed?
Myself killed by a well?
No, the giant monster in the well that requires those very impressively, do you see how, I mean, gorgeous, but strong that those women over there are. Like, they're going to do battle with it, and your heads are going to come off if you do not leave.
So you're trying to
sway them to leave.
Okay, yeah, I could totally see a sway here. These two young lovers, kind of arm in arm, kind of taking this all in.
Is it your best interest to be the fuck away?
could you find something elsewhere to be?
Fuck the office.
Barely.
Core is just grumbling under her breath to Lenore. Do I look like I'm wearing my well displaying wig? No, I'm wearing my monster killing wig. People
have a well displaying wig?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's maybe not a well displaying wig, but there's definitely, I have something I want to show you. It's show and tell time wig.
Show and tell wig. Mm-hmm. I look so forward to seeing that.
It's not my show and tell wig.
Okay. Definitely not. Everybody in Ilrien should know your show and tell wig from your fucking.
Exactly. I'm affronted.
Okay. Yeah, I will totally see a controlled sway in this regard to chase the looky loos off. Otherwise, we might get into a risky situation here.
Mm-hmm. Mixed success.
Okay. Highest is 5. So I think what happens is you come out and you begin laying out the stakes here, and it was street theater, but now it's interesting street theater, because like one of them's like, well, there's a monster. Like we have to see it. Like how will we if there was okay. any chance?
Can I be an asshole then?
Yeah, I think you could, but in a risky position.
From a risky position, I think that I'm going to try to, at this point, to intimidate them and see if they still think that it's street theater. I'm going to wreck because I'm going to put my cigarette out on one of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We're going full thug life here. Yeah, I could see a wreck with a risky position here okay. because now we're talking about these two young lovers who we don't even know.
I mean, first she was like, okay, go away, and then they wouldn't. She's like, okay.
Yeah, I think they're trying to look around because they're like, that's a mercy, isn't it? That's a mercy. And like, this is cool. These two young people want to see monsters because then they get to tell all their friends, yeah, we were there when they killed the monster.
I'm just going to test their pain tolerance.
And you're going to go ahead and put a cigar out yeah. on one.
They look pretty spry. They look like they might be fast, so I'll push myself so that I can really get it in there. Oh!
Okay, so I'm going to tell you what happens here. Mm-hmm. You do it. You you put a cigarillo out on this young Ilrian, this one Ilrian person. And, you know, they flinch back and they're like, what are you doing? And that's about the time that, you know, everybody has kind of turned and the first big hand has emerged over the lip of the well, and it's just claws, and it's black and brown furred, kind of brindle colored, and it like rakes down into the stonework, and this thing is clawing its way up and out. And Cor and Lenore are right there. Mercy Aveline has kind of like turned to see what is going on with these people as you're putting cigars out on them. And this thing is going to be among you right now.
Love it.
Now, you guys are in a risky position here. What is everybody's first reaction as this thing begins moving up and out of the well?
My first reaction is to support Lenore in anything that she sees fit to do.
Okay, so you're standing ready to see what Lenore's first reaction here is. Lenore, I think that like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Mercies have like a spider sense for something horrifying lurking mm-hmm. right behind you, right? Because that's what's happening right now. You're basically putting down this lid on the well, and like it's heavy and it's damp and it's kind of rain swollen and everything. It's kind of icky. But you put it down and like there's that prickling on the nape of your neck.
Mm-hmm. First, I think that as soon as Lenore feels the I like their spidey senses, these like spidey monster spidey senses. I think that she makes a signal to Malika, and I think it's something we do back and forth. So it's not like Lenore's asking you to fall in line. It's a, hey, something's happening, which we do with each other, like a whistle or something. So that's the first thing. And then she takes a step back because she wants it to come out a little more so that she can see what it is and has a better angle on it.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
As Cor is pulling a big old fuck off axe off of her back, which is her monster slaying axe. It's big old guard style, two-headed. There's a gem set in the center piece, and in the center between the blades. And I really want to piss it off so Lenora can kill this thing. And I see some claws on the stone, and I want to give it a really close nail trim.
Yeah, that's good. It's got claws like meat cleavers. Oh my God.
And just trim some of those nails, which I don't think will actually hurt it all that much, but I imagine we'll get it all kinds of angry because, you know, those are fingies are sensitive and owie. And so, yeah, I want to
break all those nails. That's awful.
I'm going to break all those nails. I just want to use the stone of the well as the pincer point with my
yeah, axe as the hammer and the well as the anvil. This could be damaging.
Yeah.
So is this skirmish here that you're
pulling? Oh yeah, I think so. I think
Okay, you're in a risky position. If you are trying to piss it off, if that is what your overall thought is, I'm going to give you standard effect here.
Cool. Excellent. All right. skirmish, risky, standard, and let's see what I got. Okay, I got five.
Okay, so my success here, I think you definitely piss it off. I think that that what happens is that you shatter these first three nails on this hand. It's probably the size easily like could palm your face, right?
Yeah.
And so these nails shatter, and there's this kind of broken crystalline sound as they clatter down to the ground. The thing's hand recoils. The other hand comes up and grabs onto the other edge of the well, and it propels itself up in the air, all 8.5 feet of it. It's just this rippling, very lithe and sinewy body. It's not like built like a bruiser or anything. It looks like it's built for speed. And you guys have seen leopards in like the menageries here in Ilrien. That's kind of what this thing looks like, but bipedal, as it kind of lands in this crouch right next to you, Kor, with your arm back, ready for a follow-up stroke that is basically over there, and it's over here now.
Nice.
And it's got its other arm back, like it's like it wants to take a piece of you now because you took a piece of it.
Oh yeah.
I think that that you can probably throw yourself clear here if you wanted to, but I think it's not going to be without taking level one harm.
Yeah. Kor's goal right now is really to piss off and get it distracted so Lenore can kill this thing. So yeah, diving out of the way, I think totally fits. In fact, the way I envision it specifically would be like if it's clawing at her, Kor is gonna like right before it would perhaps bisect her, pry up the well lid, and
see
like huge gouges of wood getting torn out of that. And then but again, she's trying to keep its eyes on her and dance away from it. She's very light on her feet as well.
Yeah.
I'm happy to take so are you saying that it's level two harm and I can resist it down to level one? Or
no, I think right now it's level one harm. I'm just gonna give you battered. Just as you kind of put that lid between yourself and these killing claws.
Yeah.
But I think that if you wanted to resist that and just like have it give you a miss entirely, you could.
No, I like being battered. That's fine.
I'll remember you said that.
Noted.
All right. So this thing, this giant bipedal leopard thing, is currently pressing the attack against Kor as she defends herself with the lid of the well. I think that Mercy Aveline has drawn a pistol and is tossing one to Lenore as well. This is an alchemical shot that the Mercies often use. It's a quicksilver round. She's currently looking for an opening to take a shot and hoping that you get a shot off as well. What is everybody else doing? You still have, Rumor, you still have two looky-loos who are growing increasingly kind of into this street theater. One of them has like recoiled in terror. The other one is like sort of budging forward a little bit like, what is that thing?
I think that having like given them a fair warning and then like try to shoo them off, like the intimidation obviously didn't work. So I think there's a certain point where she's like, I have to respect this level of stupidity and just accept that they're gonna watch. And so she's given up on them, and she's actually like, she's pulled out all the papers that she had been tearing out earlier, and she's going through, she's like, this is not what I thought it was at all. And like, there's just paper flying everywhere. She's going through trying to figure out what she's looking at.
I love the idea that there's like pictures of like vampires and pictures of like spiders and pictures of like all these like various other monsters.
Yeah, they're all
this is not like crude charcoal drawings.
Just beautifully like illustrated illuminations, almost like medieval texts, right? Mm-hmm. Just pulled out of this ancient grimoire and just sort of like, no. That's awesome. Are you angling for a role here for what this thing is?
No, I'm actually setting myself up narratively to use my foresight.
Ah, there it is. Okay. Lenore and Malika, who's quicker on the draw here as this thing is fencing with Kor and her well lid?
Oh, I think Lenore is like definitely faster. I just have an idea of how to deal with the looky-loos, but I'd rather focus on Lenore first.
I'm excited for that.
You
too. I think that as soon as, it's funny because Lenore had not really taken a step back, but had leaned back just a little bit to give this thing room to come out. So she had a plan in her mind, and then Cor just went in with this huge battle axe. And I think as soon as in the moonlight, Lenore sees that Cor has pulled out this huge battle axe, she just says, for fuck's sake. And she pulls her sword out. But then as soon as she has tossed a pistol, if it's okay, can I just narratively have both?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, didn't question.
Totally,
Yeah. So I think that, she thinks she might have a clear shot. So I think she's going to try to take the shot first and save the sword.
Yep.
I would say
firing into that melee is going to be risky, but one of these alchemical rounds might give you standard effect here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to say that my action was a setup for this. My whole thing was to piss it off and get it mad at you. So if that's the case, you can either reduce it down to controlled by coordinating with Cor, or you can increase the effect to great by getting in a really good shot. I think you should do the latter. I don't think you should make it not risky. I think risky makes a little sense. I think, but it's your choice. It's your call whether to go for greater
effect. Eliminate risk. We're gonna eliminate a little bit of risk here. So I can't hurt you or anybody else as bad if things go wrong here. Or we can make this a much more telling blow against this creature.
No, I think
hit it. Hit it.
Oh,
hurt it.
This is what Cor wanted you to do.
Or at least I know, she's
like, kill this thing already.
But here's the thing. I think Lenore would absolutely just do it. But Kristen will never be invited back on actual play if she shoots Sean.
No. First off. I can tell you right now, Sean is the one who would invite you back to actual play. And yes, you absolutely will. I can tell you from the...
So let's go with making it great?
It was up to great effect.
Risky great, yeah.
And is it skirmish? Is that what I'm going to roll?
I think you're doing puns, honestly. If you're shooting...
It could be high because you were set up positionally to give this a little bit of room and call your shot, right? It's slower. Skirmish might give you the better effect here, but it might be a less risky thing to hunt here, right?
Okay, so I'm gonna go hunt. Risky, right?
Yeah, I think what we talked about here, risky great.
Risky great.
And just to throw out there, if you want more dice, you could push yourself for an extra die. You could take a lady's favor for an extra die, or someone could give you an assist. Fictionally, I'm doing a setup action, so I don't want to say I'm going to give you assist as well, because I feel like I've already kind of done my thing, which is...
Exactly. I agree.
Draws attention, but...
I for sure will push myself, though.
Nice.
It's a good place for it.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, you got a 4, which means you did it.
You did. I think as you shoot this thing, you can follow the path of the alchemical quicksilver bullet as it is flying through the air. It leaves like a telltale trail behind it. And as it stops dead kind of in the back of this hulking thing, you can tell that it is like there's smoke coming off the pelt, but then you're seeing like it slag down and run off the fur. The bullet did not penetrate. I think it's like I set up a clock for the beast in the well. I'm going to tick it twice for the effect here. But it is an 8-part clock.
So you're giving it. Okay. So was that was the consequence there? You were giving it reduced effect.
Yeah, it's reduced effect. Yeah, I think that it's now like. We're watching as the lid of the well has basically been reduced to flinders in your hands.
Nice.
So that's what's going on here. Who's next in motion? Cor, I could see finding a different way to keep this thing's attention. Or Malika maybe has a hidden ace up her sleeve.
I think I'd like to see what Malika does, but I will tell you that Cora's reaction when that smoke hits it, I think the smell that it had when it gets shot is even more pungent. And you notice that Cora is like, you know how some people, like myself, like the smell of weird things like gasoline or whatnot? Like Cora like smells it. She didn't notice it before when it was faint, but when it's really strong, Cora like so I was just like, ooh, like you can tell she likes the smell of this strange smell that you associate with her. Like she's like, oh yeah. And it's not like it's getting her high. It's just a pleasant smell. It kind of distracts her for a moment. So, you know, Malika might need to do something so that this thing doesn't behead her. But absolutely. She has her axe, you know, she's yeah.
Absolutely. In the wake of all this, are those people still watching or have they run away?
One of them has taken to their heels and is just booking it down the street. The other the one that you burned. the other one is still kind of like, it's almost like a train wreck in slow motion. Like it's just eyes following the, oh, somebody's going to die here. And there's no thought.
It might be me.
It might be me.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I want to make sure that innocents aren't going to get caught up in this. So I'm going to, technically this move, this ability gives us a special XP trigger, but it is worded, the old guard. People are inclined to believe you're acting in the best interest of Illyrian. And so Malika's going to step forward. And I'm also going to use my vulgar display of power and say, behold, the House of Battaglia fights for you to protect you and all of the city. Do not heed our progress. Do not stand in the way and tell all others that they must heed towards safety. And I want to use that gut-wrenching, like just fill the place with magic that it will force people to flee, basically. That's
a completely vulgar display of power to just overwhelm the weave with like, you need to be elsewhere. Activate the primal lizard brain and have them just like, okay, bye.
I think it'll have a nice secondary side effect of snapping Cora out of her momentary fugue state. That's because cool. It'll terrify the hell out of her too.
Yeah, because suddenly magic, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That makes perfect sense to me. I think that this would have been risky standard. I think that your vulgar display of power here makes it risky greater. The only thing that I have to warn you is that there's a lot of mojo going down in the area right now, so we may have some unintended side effects if this goes.
Yeah. So I'm willing to ask for a lady's favor.
Okay. Like,
and I whisper towards Lady, protect me as you have always protected the House of Battaglia.
Ooh, okay. Well, the lady is omnipresent, but her love cuts both ways. I think that if this, no matter what happens here, the thing's next action is to bound off into the darkness and you're going to have to run it down.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, but I want to check in with everybody else. Are we okay with this becoming a chase?
Totally, totally. As long as I have the opportunity to ride it.
Because all right.
I'm in close proximity and I've got two dots of maneuver. So I am all down for jumping on this thing's back.
I'll give you that roll.
I mean, I can always tell you, you're like, it runs away. I'd be like, cool, I jump on its back.
Especially if you resist that consequence, right? Like, it runs away. No, I don't think so. Anyway.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, so I'll take the lady's favor. Can I also push myself for an extra die? Are we allowed to do?
You can push yourself and accept a lady's favor. You can't get an aid.
Got it.
You can't have anybody aid or assist you.
Yeah.
Assist and take a lead.
No worries. I'm totally cool with pushing myself for this. All right. I want to make sure people are safe. So, that was a six.
You are safe. Nice. The boom of your voice, like, is echoed in thunder above you. And like that one person who is still trying to look around Rumor, like locks eyes with you. And there's that moment where he sees like the noir effect. He's like, okay, I gotta go now. Like he hies hence.
Coward.
But the thing is at this point, it has turned to kind of glare daggers for just a second, taking its eyes off of Core for just a moment to like look at what stung it just now. Locks eyes with Lenore for just long enough to notice that it has no eyes. And then it bounds off into the night. And Kor, what are you doing?
Yeah, I have this move called Unstoppable. You may push yourself to accomplish a feat of speed or endurance that borders on superhuman. I want to grab the rope of the well and tether this thing. I want to lasso this creature so that it goes basically like, you know, 20, 30 feet, and then is cut short where the others can. So I'm not gonna like try and overpower it myself, but I think I can tangle it up.
Sure, you're gonna try and take it in such a way that it doesn't realize that it's been lashed, and then
exactly
it's going to, okay.
With all this violence and it's flailing around, I'm sure it won't notice a rope going around its neck.
Sure. It probably got the smell of hot blood in the air somewhere, and it's probably going to be heading off in that direction.
Yeah.
It may not notice this strange little, like, it's basically like a monofilament around this thing, right? Like, mm-hmm. who could see this well rope?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that we're starting here with your push here for Unstoppable. Mm-hmm. I think this is risky because it might swat you, right? Mm-hmm. I think that this is limited. This thing is big, and you're basically going to be throwing a rope around it, and that rope mm-hmm. is attached to this wooden cross member. I think that that it's just the level of
that its ability to just like overpower it.
Yeah, just basically rip out this entire cross member and just drag it along like an addled dog walker with like seven Great Danes. Yeah.
I'd like to. Okay, that's cool. No, that's all good. I fictionally, I'm gonna ask for a lady's favor for this because I think it's, well, no, I'll just describe what I do and you can tell me if it changes the fiction. It might just change the risk here. This beautiful family heirloom of an axe that means a lot to Kor, I'm going to somehow in a magnificent speed lasso, like loop the other end of the rope around it and then wedge the axe between two of the well stones. Instead of it ripping the wood, it now is the axe on the other end that is dug into the stone, and the blade are like pried in there, which I think would give it. I'm asking for a lady's favor because I'm basically like giving up my heirloom weapon here, least for the fight. But I also think that it might change it. If that was the reason why I had reduced effect, I think it would be a stronger anchor.
I think you've still got risk, but I think that gives you standard effect because you're using your fine weapon here to anchor down into the well, and it's probably not going to be of any use to you for the rest of the night.
Yep.
And I'm more than willing to give you that bonus die for effect here for that. So go ahead and roll risky standard if that's what you want to do here.
I'm doing it, and I think this is maneuver.
Yeah.
Risky standard, and I can.
Great move.
Thank you. That would be a crit.
Sure is. Yeah. So I think that as this thing, we're treated to this scene of as it like kind of pivots. Kor jumps over and just like loops this rope around its neck and kind of does a quick figure eight knot in around the haft of the axe, and then wedges it down into one of these stones. And sure it does. Watching rope spool out, and then there's like a tautness in the rope, and then it goes slack again. And like 20 feet as we kind of pan over, it's on its back and kind of like thrashing around and trying to like rip out the rope from around its neck. And it's just basically like digging claws into itself, trying to free itself. I'm going to go ahead and tick that clock one more.
I think when Kor first does this, you know, she gets the rope around its neck, but it's hard to see in the dark. And so I imagine that it like when it flings her, it's off of her. She looks momentarily like she's been defeated, and she looks at Malika as she's like thrown to the ground. And then as it like dong, the rope goes tight and it's held back, she just smiles.
Got it. Okay. I think Evelina is currently running off in the direction of the thing, trying to make sure of the kill. I think you guys are in a fairly controlled position. This thing is bound up, trying to thrash its way back to its feet, away from the well, free itself so it can go and pursue its hunt and kill. But it could go bad again real quick. So what is everybody doing?
Cor is definitely enjoying her ingenuity and expecting everyone else to go and kill this goddamn thing now.
I did the thing. Where were you?
Yeah, exactly. Because I got a crit, as an additional effect, can I ask for another tick on this clock that it's really tangled up? Like that it's this is super dumb, but I'm going to throw it. You notice that one of the golden strands that was in Cor's hair is missing. She put that around the noose. I know this is ridiculous to say I did all these things, but it does say I can do a feat of near superhuman speed. So I'm just going to push that. And that golden band is in the noose, and that's what's actually cutting into it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
That was in hair. That,
that's very cool.
It's like a groat.
The extra effect.
Yeah, that's
nice.
That I put in there. Is that it is having difficulty rising. It can't hurt anybody just yet.
Nice.
And then I take the clock as well.
Sounds good. I love
it. So is that okay with you?
That's super good.
Okay, cool. That's
perfect. I'm just thinking like why this thing would hurt it. I don't think rope would, but something about the golden garrot that was in her.
Yeah, and it can't get that garrot off.
Yeah. All right, go kill it, Cor says.
What was Rumor doing?
Rumor was last time that we panned over to her, she was going through these pages trying to identify what this monster was. As it goes down, I think that's probably the moment where Rumor goes, close enough. And then she pulls something out of her bag. Like she has so many options in this bag that she's lugged around. It's just like Santa Claus pretty much. So she pulls out.
Monster hunting Santa Claus.
She pulls out this like weird sack of it looks like jelly, but you realize it's kind of like a weird sap. So normally it'd be a medicinal thing, but in this case, it's not going to help the monster, right? So she's going to like look at it and go, yes. And then she's going to hurl that to Lenore.
Lenore,
that is your assist.
This is becoming something of like her special move with you. It's like the team up power. And I think that I'm gonna step on you real quick. Mm-hmm. This is basically like jelly daylight. This sap lets off like this kind of amber radiance. And you are brought back to the Jewel Cities listening to those stories. Mm-hmm. And unlike the alchemical quicksilver, you think that this might work.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, then I definitely want to, just thinking of how Lenore would do this. Yeah. I think I'm gonna approach it. I mean, by approach, I'm gonna run over. And I still have my sword out. And then I'm going to, can I say that I'm going to attempt to use this, but let the role determine how we proceed with that narratively?
Sure, that's fine.
Whether it works or not, okay.
You're just at this point saying that you want to use this to the best effect that you know how. I just need to know, like, are we coating a sword real quick and like striking it? Or are we throwing it at it? Are we, what in the fiction here, what skill do you think you're rolling here?
Oh yeah, I think it's being dumped over the sword.
Okay, this might be skirmish here because you've got, it's kind of coating the sword, you're still gonna be over there trying to make a killing blow with the sword, right?
Okay, skirmish, and then, how does push yourself work? Can I do that again or is that only one time?
No, you can push yourself for two stress whenever you want.
Okay. Oh, I didn't mark stress. Okay, I'll mark
stress. Oh, I can actually, don't push yourself. I will take stress to help you. To give you that extra die.
She's already got an assist from
but you can't.
Got it.
You can still give her a setup action though.
Yeah, if you can think of a setup action here that gives her a greater effect.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I think I'm not trying to break, like, I think I've been watching the link the whole time. I'm not trying to break it, but I'm trying to yank it as hard as I can to distract the beast.
So basically exactly what Cor did, but in the weave.
Oh yeah. So much better. Much more stylish. You know?
Cor. One of Cor. Because Cor is definitely
back and forth.
I think
I
part of what Cora is doing also is like holding onto the rope, like trying to like play tug of war with this thing. Like she's got the axe set in, but she's like digging her heels in too, so that it doesn't get away. And I love the idea of you just like being like, I'll just do that, but way better in the waves. So good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to mark I have a fine arcane focus in order to increase the effect, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. What does your arcane focus look like?
Ooh, yeah. I think what it looks like. Yeah, I think what it looks like is Malika passes a hand over their eyes. And then when they do that, the eyes flicker for a moment. And when they reveal their hand, they're two amber colored jewels that she can twirl around, you know, Labyrinth, David Bowie style.
Oh, contact.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's why arcane focus.
All right.
So yeah. So with that, is it risky standard or?
I think right now, just because the weave is so active, that it is risky. Mm. I think that if you're hoping to set up Lenore for a felling stroke, basically keeping it off its guard, that yeah, well, with your arcane focus, this is standard.
Okay, cool. Got it. And I will push myself just to make sure to set up things. All right. Woohoo, six.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, exactly. You grasp onto those strands of the weave, give them a good sharp yank, and the thing like was kind of like clawing at this garrote that is like around its neck and the gold that is like leaving a singe all the way around its throat. As you give this thing a yank, like it doesn't yelp, but it yowls, right? As it like kind of thrashes out and like is laying there with its like breast exposed as Lenore steps up.
The pressure.
Yeah.
You got this.
It's fine. Risky?
Yeah.
Worse?
So Aveline is there a step ahead of you. Okay. And I think that if something bad happens here, it's not necessarily going to be to you. I think Aveline might get clobbered here if this doesn't go well.
Okay.
So I think it's risky. Okay. I don't think you're the one who's endangered right yet.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think you have a setup action from Malika. So I think is it fair to say
greater here? Yeah, that's greater effect. And you have one bonus die from Rimmer.
Yeah, okay, that part I remembered. So it was just, I have to do this, sorry. Risky, greater, bonus die.
And if you wanted to push yourself, you could get a second one.
Oh, and I'm pushing myself. Thank you. I wrote down, give myself stress. I'm so glad you reminded me to take the extra die.
Yeah.
Nice. There it is. Okay. There you go. Cool. So I think we get this moment where Aveline comes up and is like kind of standing astride this thing with the pistol pointed down, and she pulls the trigger and it smashes into this thing's muzzle to no effect. Again, just slug and then just like a drip and a smoke. But you come up with this amber, you know, lighted sword and kind of bring it down right into its chest. And there's this piercing howl. Like it doesn't even come from the thing's mouth. It comes from where the sword sinks in.
Yes.
And there's just this green fire that begins erupting out of this thing. It is not dead, but it is spewing flame in all directions. I'm gonna go ahead and mark 4 ticks on that clock. But this is probably going to get a little hairier than risky just now, because it's now officially like an arson elemental. This thing is has like now caught fire. The rope has caught fire. The gold has slagged off of its neck free. And it's just a hopeless amount of flame in front of you that is now like with its last stand trying to make murders out of all of you. So what are you doing to stop it before it does that?
So how on fire is this thing in terms of like, Is it like dangerous to get next to it? Obviously it's dangerous to get next to it because of claws and all these other things, but is it like spewing flames?
It is in fact spewing flame. Nice. Like Quentin Tarantino levels of fire are pouring from this thing in basically a broad cone out of its chest. The only reason why nobody has taken any harm yet is because nobody has decided what they are doing in this moment right now.
Right, because we haven't gotten in front of it. But it's at least spewing from one side, right?
Like, yeah, it's got a safe zone.
It's got a safe zone.
It's got a splash zone.
It's got a splash zone. Awesome. So Cora would love to run up and with Lenore and Lee, because she sees that Lenore is possibly going to get burned by this thing. And Cora's so far been pretty good at getting this thing's attention. And you have a big sword that can like kill it. So I would very much like to lead a group skirmish action to finish this thing off. But Lenore has to be the one to plunge that sword into it. Cora is primarily trying to distract it. And I think what she does, she pulls two daggers out of, she pulls like actually multiple daggers out of her murder wig, and she just starts chucking them at it, like to piss it off. And she's walking down towards you, just like throwing dagger after dagger, knowing it's not gonna hurt it, but trying to like piss it off, get its attention so that Lenore can do the killing blow. Cause her trusty axe, her monster killing axe, is
still back there.
That damn well. So.
Sacrifice to the well.
Yeah.
Are you down with that, Kristen? Does that sound fun to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
Cool. Yeah. I like this idea too.
Jemmy, please tell me if you want to cut us off by being like, nope, I'm going to do a cool magic thing.
Yes, 100%. Yep.
If you want
to If I see please. Lady Core doing that, I'm going to have to push myself too. I'm going to take a lady's fortune in order to get one die instead of two and roll the lowest.
Yeah.
Sure.
Notice
that. Name is Mario. Just always with the one and up.
I will not back down from a duel with my
no way.
The lady's favor here. I think the lady's favor here is that the controller of this thing has felt the tension and is going to send something black and awful after you.
Ooh. I welcome this duel.
Yes. Oh, I forgot all about the person who was controlling.
Me too.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, I've been thinking about the bastard the whole time.
Yeah, proper knackery there.
That's what Malika's been doing.
Cora has her sights set on this flame panther.
Arson panther.
Yeah. Arson panther. Arson leopard. Arson. Yeah. There's definitely a point where she runs out of daggers and has to pull the one that's in her bodice. Because she's ridiculously covered in daggers and
décolletage and dagger.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody has a décolletage dagger. What else? Yeah, I mean,
in Ilrian, they're in high fashion.
Yeah. So I think what's group action? What's our position and effect?
So group action here, I think that this is, if we are getting into real close combat with this thing that is spewing green fire, that it feels desperate to me. But I think that it is weak. It is not necessarily flailing at you. It's more just dangerous to be anywhere near. So I think that you could do the standard action or standard effect here. If the idea is to cut this thing to ribbons, put it down for good. Like it is teetering on the brink of exploding right now anyway. So I think standard effect makes sense here. Does that sound good to everybody?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Yeah. Then that'll be the roll.
Is everyone rolling with a group?
So Kristen, you and I will.
Me. Okay.
Anyone can roll. You and I definitely will. Okay. I'm happy for Sean if Aveline wants to join in on the group action. I'm happy to take Aveline's roles and potentially take stress from that as well.
Okay.
Because I'm getting it. So
she's going to roll two fortune die. For that to help you out.
Sounds good.
Yeah, Rumor is just kind of maneuvering around this thing and trying to stay to its back.
Real quick, if it's okay, I like the idea that as we were leaving, examining the body, that Lenore did tell Rumor, like, everything.
Oh, nice.
That she knew about it. It doesn't mean that Lenore didn't share it with the group. I just think that we haven't identified the relationship between Rumor and Lenore. And so I think that she shared first as like a show of there's a base level of trust since we're going into this together. So just real quick, narratively, wanted to put that there.
Climactic. Yeah.
That probably helped her find the right page faster.
Exactly.
That's where we found the Amber Sunlight sap. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfect.
And just because I think we're getting towards the end of this errand, or well, maybe not. How many times can you use foresight?
You can use two.
You can use two, yeah. Well, you might still want to save it for once we're tracing something down, but I don't know if you want to, you know, since Lenore is still using that blade of Golden Sun, I don't know if you want to use foresight again to... it seems like applicable if you wanted to.
We'll just say that there was plenty there to go twice, and we'll count that as two.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want the extra die,
pounds.
Like 5 pounds of amber sap.
I don't want to say like use the move that way. I just wanted to throw it out there that if it was an option if we want to.
No, it makes sense here, yeah.
More dice. Okay, so I need to roll. Am I taking a bonus die or no?
One bonus die for Rumor's Force.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, I got a four. Let's see if you can do better. Yes, Lenore. Yes,
there it is. Oh, I don't correct you now. All right. So the best thing that we can hope for happens, right? I think we're treated to. I need to roll for. Evelyn.
Yeah, see if Evelyn gives me any stress.
No. Okay.
She helps so hard.
So
go on, Evelyn.
This is why they don't let me play, see? the GM's job is real easy if everybody just rolls crits all the time. So I think like a pack of wolves, you guys descend on the arson leopard. Kind of diving in from its blind quarters and just cutting it down inch by inch. The wounds that you leave on it are like they look grievous for a moment, and they kind of, you know, mend together as the blade passes through, but the weight, just the sheer weight of all the wounds eventually just pulls this thing down, and eventually that green fire gutters and fails, and the thing almost looks as though it's been hollowed. It's more of like a pelt now than a creature. But there's just an eerie prickling feeling on the nape of your neck as you stand around this now no longer ignited sparkler of a creature. There's this.
I love that imagery. We were just fighting a sparkler. We should have just waited. It would have just like exhausted itself.
Gone out, yeah.
It just would have set everything in the arbor on fire.
Whatever.
Detail. It would have been perfect. I think that dread that is still kind of in the air holding. Like it's not even like something that you can place until you guys are kind of pulling back away from this thing. And Emily is reaching down to, she is filling a vial with this kind of soft, ghostly green guttering that is still kind of in the chest cavity. I want to know who looks over their shoulder first.
It's gotta be. It might be a tie, but it's gotta be Rumor because of the whole, like, she's like hypersensitive because she's superstitious. Like, as soon as she feels any kind of prickling, she's there, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So the first look over her shoulder is Rumor in this.
With the hell no.
In this case. So I want to know what your feeling is when you look over your shoulder and you see that the big arbor tree behind you, opposite the well, is covered in seagulls at midnight, all looking at you like you owe it something.
My response is to nope out of there and maybe lead a group maneuver action to get us cover in the trees so that we are not the ones who are caught.
In the
naked
storm?
Here, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there are a hopeless number of seagulls on that tree, and it's nighttime. What are the seagulls doing there?
Nothing.
Not, not, not cute seagulls either. Not like little seagulls.
Angry seagulls.
These are the Ilrien seagulls. They're these kind of dark gray albatross looking things.
The ones with, that like, roll you for your lunch.
The long murder beak. They're all with a single mind among them are like following your movements. And then Rumor starts taking off at a run. Is everybody else going with her? Is this a group action?
Yeah, no, I think that Rumor yells, take cover. And anybody who does want to take cover, I will eat that stress for them.
Okay, that makes sense.
Cora's like lying in the mud next to the well, soot all over her face from the flames, like chips of like wood chips from the well door, like stuck in her clothes. She's like ready to collapse. And you're like, run. She's like, shit.
I hate it here.
Like rests her axe free of the stones and comes trotting after you.
I'm gonna use my good luck charm here for an extra die, and then I'm gonna roll maneuver.
What is your good luck charm? I didn't ask you.
I think her good luck charm is a kind of bronze, kind of religious symbol for Malazara, the like eight-armed goddess of war from the Mauerlands. So she pulls out this incredibly frightening like little goddess, and that's her good luck charm.
Somebody's good luck charm.
What is our position?
I think your position here, like I said, it's a hopeless amount of seagulls. So if I send them all at you,
okay.
This is probably going to go really bad. Mm-hmm. Like we've all seen the birds, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking.
Is this a desperate amount of seagulls?
I think this tends toward a desperate amount of seagulls. I'm going to say it's a risky amount of seagulls right now.
It's a risky
amount of seagulls right
risky
now.
Risky seagulls.
Like, okay. If this goes poorly, this is maybe a fifth of the amount of seagulls I'm going to throw at you. It's just seagulls all the way down.
Can I get a lady's favor for this risky amount of seagulls?
Okay. The lady's favor here. I think the lady.
I feel like the obvious one is that we're going to cause collateral damage. Like,
yeah.
Somebody's
like, well, if we have to run under something, right? So wherever we go, is going to get trash. Whether we actually get cover or not, if we run into a tavern, if we run into a barn, it's going to get like wrecked. But that seems to me like a for sure. If we don't mind possibly trashing places,
I like the idea of it being like a barn with no animals, obviously, you know, that, but yeah.
So here's the lady's favor. The lady's favor is one way or the other, the broadsheets are going to have a field day with the amount of seagulls that you have left in your wake. I think the papers are going to run, you know, House Battaglia 4A plagued by seagulls. I think the amount of dead seagulls is going to be seen as an omen. It's probably going to message a bad harvest or something like that.
For sure, an omen.
So I think this is an extra two exposure at the end of this.
Okay.
You can turn it down. You can.
A shitload of exposure, but that's okay. I'll use some downtime to try and buy that down. I have a believable excuse. It's good.
Let me tell you about why the seagulls were there. Okay.
Hold on. There's a story behind those. All right. So I think all of us, if we want to get out of there, should roll a maneuver.
Oh, gotcha.
Since.
I'm so sorry. I rolled a
one. I mean, you got a six. Uh-huh. You just also.
No, but like I rolled a zero dice. So.
Is Aveline just going to carry us all night?
I mean, that's
risky standard. Okay. Ooh.
That's too stressed. Sorry.
No problem.
That's what she's here for. It's fine.
It is.
All right. So I think that as we are dodging between these kind of small buildings, these outbuildings in the arbor where they keep the tools and things like that, we are, you know, moving toward the edge of the district. And eventually, like the flapping of wings behind us, the screeching and calling of these seabirds that have no business being out in the middle of the night chasing you. Eventually, you guys like duck into one of these open barns, and it's a hail of birds, just smashing into the side of this. Like there's a small glass window high up, and it shatters out, and you know, birds, just birds. But you guys find safety and shelter in there, and like basically put your backs up against the wall and wait for it to sound quiet outside. You wait 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, no more birds, no more birds.
I feel like those are heated minutes of tense.
Yeah.
Minutes,
yeah.
We're all hot and sweaty from this run and this fight. And
it was a sprint. Yeah, I think that as we kind of pan around, like everybody is a little in disarray, deshabille, if you will. As we kind of mirror the around the table from the beginning of the episode, we pass by Malika, we pass by Lenore, we pass by Kor, pass by Rumor. Aveline on the end, like her eyes closed. She looks over and she's like, I think it's passed.
You go check.
And that I pointedly look at Rumor and I say, as House Battaglia, we do not ask our companions to do what we must do ourselves. I will go check. And I stand up.
Upon your shields, but upon our honor, let's go look together.
Very well, Lady Aveline, if you insist.
This is perfect because Kor needed to do something and she couldn't have Malika there while she did it. So this is great.
Ooh.
Okay.
The moment you leave Malika, she turns to Lenore and gets very close and says, I need you to help me with something. I need you to put a pin back in my wig because it's like two pins away from just falling off completely. And that would be a travesty I cannot endure. And so she like holds these couple of hairpins up towards you and gets very, very close as she needs you to like put them in. Or who knows? I don't know if you'll take her up on this, but
no. Lenore will definitely do it. And she, I think she doesn't say anything. She just sighs and like rolls her eyes. And I think we get the sense that like, this is for sure not the first time that after a great battle, Lenore's had to fix your wig. So she very quickly fixes it for you.
Nice.
Awesome. Outstanding.
If that's okay with you, Kristen, it's a very like intimate kind of thing.
Where oh yeah, no, we can just be close. Like, oh yeah. Yes,
exactly.
Oh yeah.
The way TV shows are filmed where people are stupidly close when they're talking, right?
Exactly.
Even when we have a widescreen thing, yeah.
Even when we have widescreen.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
It's all letterboxed, but yeah.
Yeah, letterboxed, but still Zoom focused on the two of them as we're fixing her hair. Thank you.
Outstanding. Okay, well, the storm of terrifying seabirds has abated. I think there stands nothing in your way from returning home victorious tonight. I think that...
There's one thing Malika wants to do. I want to find the bastard who, like, at least give us a clue to go on for next time, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, because I'm thinking.
I want to know what you're doing to find out who sent those birds after you.
Yeah, I'm going to check that I have arcane implements and ritual implements in order to help me. And I say, Lady Aveline, this would work better. My own blood should suffice, but with the blood of a mercy, even just a drop, it should help even further.
I think that like there's a moment where like she gives you a look, and like it's one of these like deep, like, do you know what you've just asked?
And I nod. Do not worry, lady. I am quite familiar with your ways. Perhaps you keep your secrets close. I do not claim to know much, but I know the power within your blood. I swear it upon my honor and the honor of my house that once your blood is used in the ritual, I will make sure to destroy it myself, and none other may come across its power.
I think that this might be a sway. Like the way you might, you know, I could also see consort here, but I think this is a role of some kind because like Aveline is looking at you like, you want my blood for some act of magic. Do you think that I have gotten this far in this world doing this by just handing anybody my blood.
And I say, I'm going to go for sway, and I'm going to say, I understand that my ways may not be known to you. Perhaps you have heard of the witches of the wild. It is said that the blood carries much power, and the blood in a mercy, that much more so. I think it would behoove you to not allow this person to bring in more monsters into your territory. And I think we can both agree that this is truly important. So I'm willing to take a lady's fortune.
This is control. Because you guys have fought together just now. You've just run from an arson panther or leopard, and also murdered an arson leopard and run from a bunch of seabirds. That's fire forged friendship there. But I think it's controlled. I think it's standard. I think that Evelina wants to help you. And I think that this is just going to come down to the roll to see whether or not she is like a six here. Yes. A five here, you might get a little bit of what you want, but not blood.
Makes sense. All right. Can I ask for a lady's fortune on this roll too?
You can ask for a lady's favor here. I think the lady's favor here is that I think that Evelina is going to be under the assumption that you owe her a big favor in the future.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I don't mind owing the hot, mercy lady a favor. Totally cool. Okay, my highest was a four.
So she doesn't like. I mean, if it had been a six, she would have pulled a poignard and slit her palm and gone ahead and helped you out with the ritual here. I gotta ask Lenore here. What is something in the Mercy Toolkit that could help out in a ritual like this that isn't necessarily blood? Is there some other thing that a Mercy carries that might empower a ritual with something of the Mercy?
Could it be a tool?
A tool?
Something that, like a dagger, I think it has to be something that has slain a monster.
I like that, yeah. I think it is. I think it's she reaches down and she grabs one of these bright quillian poignards that she carries braced about her left eye, pulls one out, tosses it into the ground between the two of you, and then spits on it. She says, "That should do it."
And I nod graciously. I know to not push a mercy, and I'm going to try to cast this ritual. I think in my mind, it's going to be something like, it might take a while to track down who this person is, but I'll keep tabs on this ritual and the spell as the days pass, basically.
Okay. Yeah.
So is this channel?
Mm-hmm. I think this is channel. I think what this is going to do is this is going to probably establish a long-term clock that we can take care of in downtime that might flush this person out. So I think I want to see the channel here, and we'll determine what kind of clock this is based on how we roll here. I think right now we're in a controlled position. Mm-hmm. I think that this might be limited effect because you've got a tenuous connection to this person already. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Blood from the Mercy to empower you. So mm-hmm. I think limited to start.
Yeah. And could I? So I'm already using some tools. I'd also like to take advantage of my familiar spirit to try to help either add a die or bump it up to standard.
I think if you dispatch your spirit to kind of follow the trail, that you could get it up to standard.
All right, I'll take that.
Can I assist, or is there too much going on already?
I don't know.
Feel free. You can melt out of the shadows if you like.
Well, I had a thought of what Lenore would do, depending on how that interaction played out. And I think that she would just, without hesitation, offer you some of her blood.
Oh.
Wow. Mercy blood.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
And I think the reason why Malika didn't ask you at first is there's a, I think there's like something didn't go right the last time I asked for the blood.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, yeah, but seeing you still trust me makes me go like,
Yeah. And Cora rolls her eyes.
Is Malika, that's the question, is Malika coming back in the barn to do this ritual so that it's sort of, you know, protected from the elements and people viewing, or is she doing it outside?
Or seagulls.
And seagulls.
Yeah, yeah. I think it makes sense. Besides, I want to show off to you, Cora, so, you know.
Exactly. And there was like a seagull that came through the window, so you could use that to, you know, as a symbolic link, whatnot. So yeah, when you're like, I'll give you my blood, of course I put this like strange, like intimate emphasis on it, or Cora does in her own mind. And Cora's just like, you know, like lost this one. Yeah, I didn't ask anyone, you know, shed my blood to say keep Lenore, but she gives hers to you. You know, like that's kind of the she looks at all her scrapes, wounds, whatnot, and feels bested in this moment.
Oh my gosh, perfect. All right, let's see how it goes. Highest is a 4.
So I think it's going to be a 6-part clock to track down whoever it was that was pulling the strings on this this leopard creature. So go ahead and mark that clock.
Does she get any glimpses or clues?
So let me tell you, let me just kind of zoom back out of the mechanics here, and let me tell you how this goes down. So as you begin to pull the threads, as you begin to manipulate the weave, that seagull in the middle of the room, who crashed through the window, slowly begins to orient itself like a compass.
A load gull.
That's not okay.
And as it does, like it begins to spin itself like a compass. And as it does, like you're suddenly getting flashes. You are seeing a storefront in the twist. You are seeing a single candle burning in a loft, like a garret. You're seeing alchemical apparatuses bubbling in the background. You're smelling actually this acrid sort of salt and brine scent. You have this odd music that is filtering from a lower room. You hear muttered conversation from the back of the garret, and then the view of the front window for just long enough to identify it as a window. You know there's a lot of information in there, but it's going to take you some time to sort through it.
Perfect.
Nice. And that seagull is pointing unerringly toward the twist.
Yeah, I sort of like stroke my familiar, which looks like a ghostly cat, and allow them to like follow the trail, and I'll connect to them later.
Outstanding. All right. Is there anything else we need to take care of before we shift into downtime, XP, that kind of thing?
I'm good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Outstanding. So we make our way back with just high and drunk on victory here, as we have defeated a terrifying foe in the middle of the arbor with the help of Mercy and another Mercy. So
should we roll a fortune roll to see how well our peacocks did at ameliorating Cipriana?
So we have tier 2 peacocks who are going to make their obeisances to Cipriana. Cora, I feel like you have the most vested interest in this, so I'm going to ask you to make that fortune roll.
Oh, nice. Okay, I'll take it. Or I'll make it. What house is Cipriana with? She's with Lavelle?
Lavelle, yeah.
Okay.
No big deal, just the first house.
Just the first house, exactly. All right, so rolling 2 dice. I mean, tier 2, considering that we're tier 0, our peacocks are pretty awesome. Is whim spelled with an H? It is. Yeah. All right. Well, they did a average job.
Yeah, so I think they went and they performed as courtiers are want to do. They went and they poured honeyed words. They said all the right things. They brought, you know, expensive gifts. They lounged about and spoke on common affairs and things like that. They you know, played the game, but it was not a personal apology for somebody who slighted them. I think that your failing to show up was noticed, but Cipriana has sent along a card with them, thanking you so very kindly for sending your associates and hangers-on to treat with her. She knows that they're all very, very busy people and that there are many, many things that must be demanding your importance. Things far greater than the captain of the guard of the first house demanding satisfaction.
Yep.
When clearly some stuff shirts will do just as well. It's very sweet, very polite.
Yeah, I have a question. I can't seem to pull up the sheet. They have every group consort has a weakness, and I'm trying to remember theirs. There it is. Theirs is that they're principled. There's things they want to. Okay, that doesn't seem like it would fit here. If they had something like undisciplined or wild or something like that, I could see her preying on those to turn against us or something.
I look at the peacocks. They're principled. They're loyal. And that's basically what they've got. And there's not a lot that we can be angry about because they conducted matters the right way.
Yeah.
Wasn't you? And that was what she was banking on.
Yep.
So
exactly. That's perfect. That's best case scenario.
But the apology was still made, so they can't be publicly mad at us, right?
Publicly. We're going to go ahead and take the minus one with House Lavelle, but they can't publicly be mad. That's never stopped anybody in Ilrian. Okay. So my question is, do we want to do XP now? Because it's getting to be about time, and we can do downtime at the start of next go round.
Or is everybody good with going over?
Or we can go a little bit over and we can do downtime now and then XP.
Ooh. I kind of want to vote for XP now and then start with downtime so that I can prepare my barbs for Lady Kor during downtime.
Yeah,
but I'm game for what everybody else says.
I think that's good. I'd like to try and keep us, you know, at our planned time frame as well. And
yeah.
Downtime can go quick if everyone kind of knows exactly. But since it's gonna be our first time, I'd like to make sure that we can go over everything. And also if they turn into scenes rather than just actions, you know, we won't be rushed out.
Yeah, good point.
Very good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, in that case, let's quickly go around the horn. Does anybody want to start with? Actually, let's do House XP first,
yeah.
And then we'll go around the horn and see how everybody else did. So we are House Battalion. Mm-hmm. Our XP triggers are overcome an obstacle with honor and tradition. Was there honor? Was there tradition?
I feel like the word honor was bandied about quite a bit in terms of keeping innocents safe, in terms of fighting, you know, the foes of Ilrian. But where I think it really mattered the most was specifically in the form of honoring our obligations to the Mercies, and that we were
very important.
That we were, you know, keeping our promises. So mm-hmm. I would say, yeah.
When things go bump in the night, and the people who hold that line ask for your help, you say yes.
That could be argued as tradition as well, because that is Hospitalia's tradition is to protect the city, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay.
I'm marking 5 XP from last time because we got right. it. So now, yeah, I'm going to go through it and let's see everybody in chat. I will show it to you as well.
Boop. Did we protect Ilrian or her interests tonight?
Yes.
I think that's a pretty mm-hmm. resounding yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel
like we didn't even let the arson leopard burn down the arbor. So,
no. I mean, the worst that happened was Siegel astrophy.
Yeah. It happened. did we contend with challenges above our current station?
I feel like whatever this thing was, it was higher tier than we were.
Yes, indeed.
We were tier 0. And this thing had an 8 tick clock, so I assume.
It was a tier 2 threat. Mm-hmm. Did we bolster our crew's reputation or develop a new one? Were we arcane tonight?
Yeah.
Super arcane.
That's pretty unequivocally yes.
Mm-hmm. I feel especially so after that ritual at the very end. Like, monstrancing one thing, but like the whole... finding out who sent it. That's mm-hmm. a cherry on the top.
There. Yeah, that was great.
Super, super cool. And did we express our goals, drives, inner conflict, or essential nature of the group?
There was a lot of flirting.
There was so much flirting.
Yeah.
Who are we knocking exactly. an XP point for flirting?
Well, I feel like that falls under drives and maybe goals. But also like totally inner conflict of like one-upmanship of like, I could do this better. I could study the map better than you could study the map. I can hurt the creature more than you can hurt the creature. I could get Lenore's attention more than you can get Lenore's attention.
Okay, that's the group. The house tonight.
All right. Well, that fills us up. Though Court of Blades has a slower XP advancement track, we have just been killing it on the house advancement. We took the move that gave us an extra XP trigger, so we could get 5 XP, and we've gotten mm-hmm. both times. So we don't have to pick them right now, but it's worth noting that we get, I think, Drake, tell me if this is differently, we get either a special ability or 2 upgrades.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get a special ability or 2 upgrades from the upgrade list. If you guys have thoughts on that, we can do that now. Otherwise, we can push on and leave that for, you know, the email chain.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy to do it over.
Yeah, I want to read them if that's okay.
Yeah.
No, don't. Pick now.
No reading. We're anti-reading.
Well,
how dare you?
The thing I would throw out is that if we took training now, if we upgraded our training and then mm-hmm. everyone wants to train during downtime, it would be more, assuming training is still a downtime action.
Training still works the same way. So you can train once in any category per downtime.
Yeah.
If you take training, you get 2 XP points in that track. If you do not have training in that, you have 1 in that track.
So it's just a thought for everyone's like, if several of us want to train, then this would be a great time to upgrade our trading right before we get it.
As long as we get to have a hot trading montage.
Exactly. That's totally I feel like you guys can make
a hot training NPC if you want.
Well, Lenore yes. and Cor just so obviously have different fighting styles. It's so clear over and over tonight that Lenore was like, oh, Cor, what are you doing? You just ruined my shot. And I totally feel like that there has to be like a coordinating our monster hunting.
Yeah.
Combat training montage that is, yes, very hot.
That is also very hot.
we'll coordinate that over.
And just touching on mechanics real quick, like Sean mentioned, this game does progress a little bit slower as far as XP goes versus a lot of the other games because it's such a long-running game. So having that bonus XP to training can help you get more dots so that you progress a little bit faster if you're worried about going too slowly.
Yeah.
Saves more room for special abilities.
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right. So we're going to start with Cor because you're at the top of the list here.
Okay.
Did you address any challenges with violence or panache?
I believe I did both. I think that there was a lot of violence that happened. But I feel like there was particular panache when I got thrown from the beast and everyone looked like, oh no, it's gonna get away. And then ka-chunk, I was like, yep, that was me. That was moi.
That was real good.
I
mean, that's 2.
I also did a desperate action. We did a desperate. So mm-hmm. I took that already.
Always mark your desperate actions as we call them.
All right, so I'm taking 2 there.
Yep. Beliefs, drives, heritage, or background? Was there any point?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of Cor's Yangshi background in terms of like the way she presents herself, the way that she has it's very important to her to have the right thing for every occasion, right? This is my monster hunting hair, and this is, you know, these are the weapons that are appropriate to that. And there was a lot of preening that.
Monster hunting hair is the best.
Mm-hmm. The murder wig and the arson leopard. Yeah, go ahead and take 1 for your beliefs, drives, heritage, and background. No vice and trauma tonight, right?
No, I'm actually going to change my vice from obligation to stupor. I like the idea that I go to a place where I come out smelling like that monster. I've been thinking about it for a while. I love my obligation to my family, but I don't think it should relieve me of stress. I think it should cause me
stressor, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to see how the entanglements treat us here in a minute, right?
Yeah, exactly. So my stupor, there was a very short moment where Cor like paused and was like like the smell of the monster kind of like intoxicated her for a moment, but it didn't, it wasn't enough that like I didn't know what to do next or that I got into a lot of trouble. So
I'll know to yank on that next time.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't even mention it, but yeah. So, okay. So that just gave me enough. I put all my XP in body and that gave me just, that gave me 8 total right there because of desperate actions. So I'm clearing that track and I'm going to advance my skirmish.
Excellent. So, 3. All right. Then we are going to move on to Lenore. Is that okay?
Sure.
Cool. So Lenore, did we address any challenges tonight with pursuit or preparation?
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of running down a monster and being prepared to fight a monster.
Yes.
Yeah. And chasing down a monster. And yeah. then doing a ritual to chase down the monster.
Another monster.
Another monster. Man. The monster's monster.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I don't think you've marked XP except for your desperate actions.
I didn't do it from last time yet.
So last time you got 3. So go ahead and mark it.
So can I mark them anywhere?
Anywhere. Yeah. Also, you should mark one more in body because you took a desperate skirmish today. And that.
Okay. And then 3 from last time. So I'm going to put them in body.
Cool.
Okay.
And then I think you're getting 2 more right now for doing
both preparation and pursuit.
Okay.
Your Garnetine heritage, any of your drives, your beliefs, your background as a Mercy, did any of that come in handy tonight?
Yeah, I think there was so much heritage and background that came in tonight.
It was old fairy tales that you were told.
Yes.
Real.
This is kind of Lenore's night, I feel.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. So
that's 3 there. No issues with vice or trauma tonight?
No.
No.
I tried. Your vice is pleasure, and I was trying with the wig move. I was going in for it, but
all right.
I mean, a girl can only put herself out that much before it gets desperate.
Fair. Okay.
All right. So that's 3 for the night.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. And then Malika up next. Did we address any challenges with knowledge, arcane knowledge, or power?
Ooh, I think I was overflowing with the power.
You're right there. Beliefs, drives, heritage, or background come into play at all tonight?
Yeah, I think I mentioned being a witch of the wilds. I think I was very careful about how House Battaglia was represented with the with the Mercy and with those looky-loos. So, but yes, I think so.
And no vice or trauma tonight? I didn't get to pull on any of your heartstrings there?
I will argue that Malika was willing, because their vice is arcane, and they were willing to pull at that string, gain that person's attention on them, make things a little more dangerous. Like, I think it shows how Malika has a tendency to push when they shouldn't.
Take your 4th, because I'm going to make you pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, please. I give you this dagger freely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my favorite. All right. So all 4 for the night for you.
And thank you. Thank you.
Rumor. Were there any challenges you addressed with calculation or expertise?
Yeah. I mean, that was.
I feel like all of them.
Having all of the stuff for the situation is kind of what she does.
I have all of the books and these weird potions. execute attack plan, bravo. All right, 2 there. Your beliefs, your drives, your heritage, your background?
All that came through today. I think you saw a lot of her personality in different facets. Like, you know, you go look, I'll stay here. And, and you know, she has a weird token from Maur. So you got to see like an old Maur god, right?
Sarah, the warrior, 8-armed warrior goddess is one of my favorites now.
Love it.
I can't wait to pull on that particular string. All right, so 3 there. Did you struggle with issues from vice or trauma tonight?
Not yet, but maybe we'll find out in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
There's still time.
There's time.
There's still time to struggle with your vice and trauma.
That's true.
That's 3 for
you. Okay, 3 for you tonight. Okay, now I have good news and bad news, because again, it's my catchphrase. Tonight, for what we have done, we have earned ourselves some favor. We've also earned ourselves some exposure. This is the payoff phase here.
Okay.
So all told, we're going to come away with 6 favor for our aiding the Mercy in the fulfillment of the duties. We are also going to take 4 exposure, 2 just normally because nobody got terribly wounded or nothing burned down or anything like that, but there was an awful lot of seagulls that we have to explain. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to chase down the broadsheets and have them not print that story or something like that to ensure that we do not rack up too much exposure, because in this particular game, discretion is a key. But good news, we also take 3 acclaim. That's the rep on our sheet there. Cool. As we begin to advance our reputation among the Esseltare, there are people always watching, and the wages of a job done well is typically exposure and shame and being cast out. But we're better than that. We can play this game and win.
Nice. Yeah, of course you can. Of course we can. Yeah, not wouldn't be worried about that at all. I assume that the holdings are the same, in that the house, our retinue can hold 4 favor, and we can each hold 4 as well, and we can divvy it out however we want.
Yes. So the favor is basically something like the overall memory in Ilrien is selective at best. The amount of people who will remember that, you know, they owe you when it all comes down to it. Oh, what have you done for me lately? This is where, you know, ledgers come in, and, you know, having proof and things like, oh no, you owe us. See, you're contractually obligated. But yes, just like in Blades in the Dark, there's only so much that we can personally hold and so much that the coterie as a whole can hold.
Right. So if everyone wants to take 1, then we can leave 2 in the house.
Exactly. And I think we didn't mark any, but I'm pretty sure we had 1 at character creation, because we spent 1 and the 1 during it, and then there was an option to spend another 1, which I think we did not do. So I think
that's correct.
We still had 1 extra shiny favor left over.
Cool.
For bribes and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So that's the end of the bookkeeping phase. Mm-hmm. Would you like me to roll an entanglement in front of you, or would you like to leave that for a surprise during the downtime?
Oh. I would love to be surprised, but I'm
same. Sounds good. Love surprises.
Yeah.
I promise not to let it hurt too bad. 4 exposure is totally livable. It'll be fine. All right. In that case, as we are making our way back up the Necropolitan Hill, I think that we're watching the coterie coming up the hill toward their estate atop the largest graveyard in the continent, and up toward the trellised ivy, and in the as we kind of pan over toward the waxing moon, perched up on one of the mausolea is a single seagull that turns to follow them as they march up the hill, and it flaps off toward the twist. And we'll see you next week, the week after next, actually.
Very cool. Yay. Good times.
It's a creepy seagull. Yeah.
Just
saying. That seagull's reporting back to somebody or something.
100%. Thanks, everybody. This was so much fun to play. I adore getting a chance to play ridiculous duelists to begin with, but I enjoy it so much more when all of their ridiculous actions are like have so much gravitas because of our various contests, our various posturing that we do with each other. So this is wonderful for me. My name is Sean Nittner. I use he, him pronouns. You can find me everywhere at Sean Nittner. I am just right now wrapping up a ton of Thirsty Sword Lesbian stretch goals. We had 35 of them, and it's mushing my brain. So I'm doing that and preparing a couple announcements for 2021. That'll be some exciting announcements to make. So that's, unfortunately, I can't give a lot of details, but those will be coming soon. How about you, Navi? What are you up to?
I am Navi, and I use she, her pronouns. You can find me on Twitter at Navi Musing, and you can find all the kind of stuff that we're up to on there. There's links sprinkled out. So there's a link for the Quarter Blades website, which is quarterblades.com, and there's a link to our itch.io, and so you can find all of that there. And how much? Yeah.
Me, sorry. Yes. Hi, I'm Jamie. I use they, them pronouns, and you can find me on Twitter. I was like going, yes. What? Oh, yes. You can find me on Twitter at Temporal Hiccup, where I like to talk about games and stuff, and I'm super duper into indie TTRPGs. I'm so glad at the recent huge boom that started a year ago. It's been really great. Super fun. Super fantastic. Yeah, so you can find my stuff there. You can also find my stuff on itch.io, temporalhiccup.itch.io. Yeah, and that's pretty much it. I can't wait for 2 weeks can't pass fast enough for the next session. But how about you, Kristen?
Hi, I'm Kristen. I use she, her pronouns. You can find me on Twitter at KristenIsNoJedi. Like Jamie, I love the space, the indie TTRPG space. And so I'm a game designer, writer, podcaster. I occasionally do streams like this. So you can get all my information on games and what I write for and where I'm podcasting on Twitter. So if you follow me there at KristenIsNoJedi. And agreed, I can't wait until we play again. For anyone listening who heard me ask questions about the rules are not that difficult and they are totally worth learning because this game is amazing. So I don't want to detour anyone. It's frickin' fun. So play this game as soon as you get a chance. How about you, Drake?
I'm Drake. I use he, him pronouns. Nobody is more excited about this game than I am because I helped write it. but you can find me on the Twitter sphere at Drake and Dice. I've also got a blog, drakeanddice.com. You can find everything as it comes out for Court of Blades at courtofblades.com, like Navi said. And you can find me here, you know, week after next to run another one of these things for these awesome people. Thank you guys so much.
I think flirting should be an XP trigger. I'm just going to say it. That's my game design advice right now. Attacked by seagulls? Good times. I specifically like the quote, a hopeless number of seagulls. Fun stuff there. Who is this knack that's bringing monsters into Illyrian? What's going on there? I think we're going to have to stick around and find out. Join us for the next episode.